But hi, everybody. This is episode 15 of CosPod.
Yay! Yay! Watch how relaxed we're going to be today.
That was terrible harmony. It sounded like a freight train. I always hated diminished fifths and augmented fourths. Oh, wow. I sound so professorial. Music degree right there, ma'am.
I am a music major.
I have a degree in music.
It was way more eloquent than I am, and I'm working on a PhD, so it was, you know. I am honest the fact that I'm not very good with words at times.
You're gonna be a doctor.
Not a medical doctor, but I'll still have doctor in my name, and that'll be awesome.
I'm pretty content where I am. I don't even know if
I'll have a real degree.
I'll have a boatload of letters after my name soon enough. One of them will not be PhD.
Yeah.
But PhD. I'll have a lot of letters after my name.
Hey, you know what? Ever since I was like 6 years old, I said I wanted to be a doctor, and I sure as crap is not going to be going in the medical field, because that stuff scares me like nobody's business. So I went the other route. I'm making it happen. My six-year-old dream is coming to life. There you go. And she laughs at me.
You normally laugh when something's amusing.
Oh.
Speaking of working on things, why don't we talk about what we've been working on and spending all of our time doing? Apparently you've been sniffing paint.
Hey, I have not been sniffing paint.
That's what you said.
I know, but I said it's not really true.
Okay, then what have you been doing?
I may have been inhaling it, but I don't think it's actually affected any brain cells as of yet. There you go. Yeah, see, thank you. basically, I've been spending this entire weekend and probably the next couple days doing nothing but painting and gluing wig wefts. And more painting and more gluing and more painting and more gluing and, yeah.
Lots of stuff. Another rinse repeat.
Yes. Yeah. Over and over and over again. But I like it. Here's the thing. I initially was going to do this one costume, which is Riddell from Chrono Cross. With using applique, because that's what a lot of people I've seen have done it with. And I was like, you know what? I'm going to try painting this, because when I see her character design, her dress, I think that it looks like watercolors. And you can't really get that effect with applique.
Right.
So I ended up getting some different type of paints that I haven't used before, and started messing with it, and it really looks like watercolors. So I'm like, yeah, it takes me about 10 hours longer than appliquing, but it's so pretty, and it's just the way that I like it. So yeah. That's basically what I've spent the last 2 days doing, is just painting.
Is that all you're working on for AFS?
No.
I didn't think so.
But I haven't worked on anything else this weekend.
Like, it doesn't have to be this weekend. I mean, it could just be, what are you working on right now for AFS?
The goddess is done and Amelia is done. They're done. I don't have to do anything. They're off in the corner. I know.
We're doing old school Slayers.
By the way, thanks again for the fur. The foxtail came out awesome.
She didn't know that it was called a foxtail.
I'm sorry, I suck. I don't work with fur stuff, and I don't know what those things are. I'm anti-fur.
Yeah, having been around mascotters forever, I know all about this stuff.
Yeah. I know how to paint and dye fur, I just don't mess with it. So. Yeah. But yeah, thank you.
I gave her my stash.
Now
by which
pink.
I mean fur.
Yes. This could go so south so fast.
After session. After session.
With much cursing to be involved. But yeah, thank you again for the fur, because it's all done now. It's just off sitting into a corner, ready to go.
As is most of my craft stuff, sitting in a corner. I think that's kind of a problem.
Yeah. I mean, everything I have left to do is just going to be Chrono Cross related. One of the guys in our group, who's called Negative Dreamer, if you want to go DA or Facebook him, he doesn't do a lot of wigs, so I offered to do his wig for him, and that's where all the glue is coming in, having to pull out extra hair, make my own wefts, and then attach them back into the wig before I spike the crap out of it, so.
Sweet.
Yeah. So a lot of paint, a lot of glue.
And a lot of shopping.
Not so much.
No more fabric?
No more fabric, I'm done. That's it, no more.
For now, yeah.
Give me about another 2-3 weeks, and then we'll talk.
Well, another 2 weeks, there's going to be another shopping trip coming.
Yeah, we'll be both slumming at Joanne's again.
Darn them for holding really good sales.
Mm-hmm. when we're trying to save money. Why do they do that? They always come out with the coupons when you don't need the coupons.
Because they need the money.
I don't care.
We need the coupons, they need the money.
They should instinctively know that we're trying to save money right now and we don't want to be spending it. If they want to send me the coupons when I'm ready to spend the money, that's fine.
We want to be spending it. We don't need to be spending it. There's a difference.
Well, I really can't spend it, so.
Hence, we don't need to be spending it, but I want to spend it. At least on certain things.
See, right now, I don't want to spend it. 2 weeks from now, I probably don't need to spend it.
There you go.
So what have you been up to? I know you've got your own mess to deal with.
Yeah. I'm busty. And I say that...
Okay, welcome to the C-plus and up-cut club.
Woo! I say that with the utmost embarrassment. Not embarrassed over my body, but the fact that people change over the years, and my Diglett costume does not fit me anymore. At all. I was only planning on just redoing the armor for A-Fest and wearing the rest of it because it's pretty decently well made, and the color is correct, and I did a really good job on attaching the trim. But no, none of it fits, because I've grown.
Yeah. But wait, when did you originally make that costume?
Oh, jeez. That was like the very first cosplay I ever wore.
Okay, see, there's the first problem. And you've been doing this for a long, long time.
Many years.
You have grown up.
Well, the taller is not a problem. The wider, to an extent, is not a problem because you can always adjust seams.
Of course.
You can add extension panels.
But you became a woman
the cut process of it is very different now.
Yeah.
Not to mention, I have learned much about my body in the process of pattern making. I am not the normal person. Apparently, my body has odd eccentricities that I did not know about at the time. And hey, there's an ice cream truck outside.
No, actually, that's my phone, and I don't know why it's ringing because I didn't put the ringer on.
I was like, man,
cool. It's a chocobo theme, that's why.
It's like 100 degrees outside, and I love some ice cream, except I shouldn't be eating it because that's part of the reason I'm busty. But I have been working on slopers, again, so that I can make my costumes fit me correctly. Because I cannot use the old pattern that I had for Diglett anymore, because it's not one of those where you can just, you know, add half an inch all around and you've gone up a size.
Right.
This costume was basically made for a teenager. So I can't use any of my old patterns, which means I have to make new ones.
Yeah, you have to start from scratch. Which I know kind of sucks, I'm sorry.
It takes time.
Yeah, it does.
And it takes a lot of, you know, math and a little bit of trigonometry, which is fine.
It's part of the deal.
Math is not a problem for me. But it's just kind of time consuming. Plus, you have to choose the right, you know, kind of pattern.
Like, yeah.
I can't use my darted bodice for all things because not everything has darts.
Mm-hmm.
Not to mention that even if, you know, you could have darts on some of it, you don't want to see the darts.
Exactly.
Like for the armor, I can have darts in the armor because you can cover that. I can't have darts in the shirt when I wear it without the armor because the original pattern does not have darts. Mm-hmm. So I cannot, you know, have random lines on my clothing, especially pointing where they are. It makes it very obvious that you have darts.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, I've been drawing on a lot of paper. And I've been using a lot of pencil lead.
Yep.
And a lot of pens. And making a lot of mistakes. Oh, I wish I had erasable pens like I did back in the day. Those were awesome.
Do they still make those anymore?
Yes, they do.
Really?
I don't use them for crafting because they don't mark very well.
That's
you're supposed to be able to erase it.
Yeah, that's why I didn't really ever get into them.
That has pretty much been the extent of what I have been spending most of my time on, if not studying for school, which starts, in a month.
Yay!
Which is where the rest of my money is going, is tuition at the moment. And also, I'm moving.
Yay!
That is kind of the big breaking news, is I'm getting out on my own at some point within the next 3 months, hopefully. So I'm trying to frantically find a place to live.
And that's the massive poorness and why we really don't need to be spending money.
the budgetary priorities are elsewhere at the moment because for those who do live out on their own, it's expensive.
Yeah.
Internet is expensive. Electricity is expensive. Water not so much. Rent is definitely expensive. And of course, then you have to worry about, can I keep all my furniture?
Mm-hmm.
You know, can I have my nice crafting table? Can I keep my cutting table? Because, oh God, I really get use out of that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, will it fit? Can I still keep it? Can I get another bookshelf? Because I have 10,000 books, including many, many more crafting books.
And she wants another one.
Well, I kind of need another one because placing all those books on shelves is going to make the shelves go meep.
Yeah.
And then I will not have very happy books.
And then you'll have to get another shelf.
Well, I'm gonna get a new bookcase anyway. That's a budgetary priority, is I need another bookshelf. Plus, you know, there's all these nice book sales. Half Price is having a book sale coming up, I think this coming week.
Yeah, it's either this week or next week.
One of the local public libraries is having one of their yearly book sales.
Mm-hmm.
And of course, I go there and it's like, hey, there's crafting books. Hey, there's photography books. Hey, there's sewing books. Hey, there's cooking books, because I love to cook too, and I've been spending a lot of time looking for healthier recipes. So if you know of any good ways to eat veggies, let me know, because I don't like veggies, but apparently I'm supposed to be eating more of them. So, yeah, veggies and cosplay. Veggies and slopers, that has been
there
my life for the last week and a half. That has been my life. Oh, and putting up a brand new website.
Yay!
for those who haven't seen it yet, we have a new website!
Mm-hmm.
It's the same address. It is still cosplay.org. It just looks very, very, very different. And I worked very hard on it. So hopefully it is a lot more user-friendly. Hopefully you like it.
Yep.
And we've also been putting a lot of bonus content on the website. If you have not seen it, you should go to our podcast page, which is cosplay.org/podcast.xhtml. Because that's where we've been putting some nifty after-session content. And maybe now we'll have pre-show.
All one of them.
You gotta start somewhere.
We just started, so...
You gotta start somewhere.
And if you ever get confused or lost, it's all on the Facebook page, which I update daily now. Or try to, until I get my computer back. Then it will be updated daily.
Yeah. I'm not quite as up on updating things, mostly because I don't have very much to say.
And it takes me all of, like, 5 seconds to do it, so I'm like, beep, done.
Yeah. See, I can either ramble on DeviantArt,
mm-hmm.
which is one of the ones I'm in charge of, or I can try really, really, really hard to write lead speak and tweet, which I tend to be very verbose when I write. Maybe not when I speak, but when I write, I'm very verbose.
Yeah, that 140-character limit is a pain in the butt for both of us.
I don't like having to shorten things because it makes us look uneducated. No offense to those who tweet and actually write that way. We know there's a reason for doing it. We know that. But at the same time, we try and be classy people.
We're scholastic people. We're scholastic individuals. So for us, we have to be a little bit more verbose when we're writing our term papers and whatnot. I know I have to.
Yeah.
I've done a master's thesis and I'm working on my doctoral, so, you know.
Yeah.
The more pages, the better.
Yeah. So A-Fest is coming up in 6 weeks.
Six weeks.
Woohoo. Actually, more like 5 weeks. 5 weeks
now. 5 weeks. Yeah. I'm like super freaking excited. I want it to be A-Fest already, even though my stuff is not done. I'm ready to go.
For those who don't know, A-Fest moved this year.
Yes.
They're in a new hotel.
I'm not really happy about the hotel move, but I know they kind of had to do it because they really needed the space.
Yeah. Well, for those who don't know, they moved to the Sheridan,
mm-hmm.
which is Project Akon's former home. At least it was until, like, right after the end of this past convention.
Mm-hmm.
So it is in a different spot in downtown Dallas, and it has its own, you know, pros and cons. It has its own challenges as a hotel as far as hosting an anime convention like Anime Fest.
Mm-hmm.
So... I'm kind of not really excited yet.
I think we're all kind of in this weary stage that we're afraid it's going to be Akon 2.0.
Yeah.
That seems to be the majority of what I'm hearing from people. So it's just like, I think A-Fest has to do something to kind of keep that small convention feel going, even though there's going to be more people this year.
Well, I think also having the schedule come out and knowing what panels will be there and basically knowing what you're in for.
Mm-hmm.
Will help people get a lot more excited.
I can tell you what four of them are going to be.
I know that. I know that. But it's kind of hard to get excited when it's like, hey, there's a convention. Okay, well, what's going on at the convention? Uh-huh. So I'm not... I'm not quite sure what to get excited about yet, because I know, you know, a lot of the things will have the same Anime Fest feel.
Right.
Like the cosplay competition, and the skit competition, and they're adding a hall cosplay competition this year.
Yep.
But they're doing a lot of the same things, so it's supposed to be the same old Anime Fest, I guess, with a few new things. So I guess it's kind of a wait and see.
Pretty much, yeah. And I know that kind of sucks, because we want to know what's going to be up this year. And I mean, especially since we don't really know who the guests are, we don't know who the band is.
We know a couple.
A couple of them, but not as many as we usually get by about this time of year.
Yeah.
So it's kind of like,
I'll be gaming at the convention.
Yes.
I'm a very avid tabletop role player. Wow, mixing my words there. I think good.
I speak English perfectly.
That was English. And
yes,
that
was it was.
English. It was just the wrong English.
Me feeling English, that's impossible.
I'm a very avid tabletop role player.
There we go.
So I'm really, really excited about them hopefully running D&D at the convention, but they don't have their gaming schedule up yet because I want to sign up for games. That's my addiction.
Yeah.
It's like the one time. This is my relax convention.
Yeah, definitely.
This is where, like, the only thing I would be doing is covering it as press.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm not teaching panels. I'm not really obligated to be anywhere except for the cosplay competition, which I'm entering again, oddly enough. I need the experience.
I think you'll actually have a better chance this time, since this one is actually prejudging and looking at you.
I had a pretty good shot last time, too.
Well, I mean, because that was one of my things about the Akon one, is that it really is about popularity, and it's whatever they see. They don't ask you about, you know, how did you see this? How did you make this? How did you do this? So I think you actually have a better chance of getting something because of your craftsmanship level.
Hopefully this next year, basically it's looking like I'm not going to have very many new things. I will have 2 new costumes for Akon, and I will have my redone Deedlet, and then I will pick one of my current ones that I still have, because I'm not going to have the money to keep going on this.
Yeah.
At least for a little bit until I get more stable on my finances. Figure out how much it costs to live by yourself.
Whereas my crazy ass is going to be making a costume every month for 8 months, starting after A-Fest. Go me.
You'll be busy enough for... See, while you're sitting there making costumes, I'll be sitting there frantically writing panel material so that I can...
I just sitting here thinking, what the crap was I thinking when I agreed to all of this madness? Oh, I know, it's because I wanted to be in more groups, so I'm like in 6 different groups now.
I'd love to do that.
But it's going to be awesome, so I'm okay with it.
No, Akon is forever going to be a working convention for me, I think. Like, from now on, I will always be working at the convention in some form or fashion. A-Fest is my relaxation convention. I just kind of veg and do the things I want to do and have nice photo shoots and meet nice people, hopefully nice people, and play role-playing games and just kind of go,
It was kind of like that for me last year, too, even though I was teaching panels at the same time. Something about A-Fest and just the atmosphere, it feels a lot more relaxing, even when you are busy. So I know I was running around like crazy last year.
Well, at least the good thing about it being in the Sheridan is we've been in the Sheridan many, many times.
We already know what's going to happen.
We know where stuff is. And the escalators will be turned off the first day of the con.
On the plus, we already know what the hotel staff is going to be like, so the chances of them enforcing like crazy wristband rules and all that is probably less likely going to happen.
Mm-hmm.
Well, they might, but I mean, they've had so much experience with Akon that they already know the drill. So it's kind of like...
I wonder if Akon's going to do it at the Anatole.
Oh, there goes all my pretty costumes.
Oh, come on, you don't wear a press wristband.
Here's the thing. When I went to go get my badge this year at Akon, they ran out of their whatever color lanyards they had originally. I think it was black.
Oh, they gave you a lanyard?
Yeah, they gave me a lanyard in my little bag.
Oh,
it was a bright neon orange lanyard.
Sweet.
What the hell is that going to match with any costume except for maybe Goku from Dragon Ball Z?
Naruto.
Okay, or Naruto, sorry. I didn't think about Mr. Naruto. But seriously, I mean, what crazy person thought it was okay to have the bright orange lanyards?
So you take a Sharpie, and you dye it in your hotel room really quickly.
Actually, I have a backup lanyard that I carry with me now.
That's what a cosplayer should do.
I had a black one in my bag already, so I swapped them out.
I still have the ancient Akon printed lanyards from many, many, many years ago. And I actually
can't do that anymore.
I have so many badges from Akon now that I actually have to put them on jump rings. I have a little booklet of badges now that I go around wearing.
I really need to start making a scrapbook since I've collected so much stuff over the years, and it's just kind of cool to go back and go through the memories.
Yep. I've only been to A-Fest a couple of times, though, so I don't have
Yeah, this will be my third year, so...
This is also my third year at A-Fest.
I went because friends told me to go, so...
Guys, Amber here. Sorry about my voice. I actually just finished eating a little bit of dinner, so I'm still actually kind of recovering from it. I have to say, sweet potato fries are actually very delicious. I just had them for the first time. But anyways, getting on topic here, I'm going to show you a little bit of the basic techniques of hand sewing. And in using materials to show you with, I'm actually using something. This is called a carpet needle. This actually has a slightly curved tip, if you can actually see it there. It's not straight. It's actually slightly curved at the tip. And as you can see, it's also very, very long as compared to the length of a finger. It's also very sharp, but I'm not going to actually show you that by pricking myself. Right now I'm just using some yarn to show you with because it's very thick and easy to see. Normally you would sew, of course, with thread, which typically comes as 6-ply, and you can purchase all sorts of different threads at the store. But the very first thing you want to do after threading your needle, and of course you have the choice of having a tail, which you can see I have this slight little tail right here. I have a little tail and this is sewing single ply. Only one piece of thread. If you want to, you can pull the tail so that the ends are equal, like so, and then knot it, and as you can see I have two threads and this is called dual ply or 2-ply. This has a lot stronger of a stitch if you stitch with two. Just notice that you have effectively cut the length of your piece of thread in half. So for this purpose, I'm actually going to pull out and have a tail like that so that I can stitch single ply so that I have a long, 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 long piece of thread. The first thing you want to do is to tie a knot. There's a whole bunch of different ways you can tie a knot. This is just the way I do it. Take it with a handful of salt. What I do is I take a small piece at the end of the thread, maybe about a centimeter in length, place the needle on top of it like this. You see I have it sitting pretty firmly on top of the threads. You don't want the thread to move. And then I wrap the thread around the needle, spiral style, somewhere between 6 to 8 times. The more you wrap it around, the thicker the knot's going to be, and it will also be a little bit harder to push the needle through it. So for this, I'm wrapping 6 times. So you'll see I've wrapped it 6 times here around the needle, like that. And then you hold onto it and you push the needle, you push through it. And this is where it gets a little tricky, is where you're pulling the head of the needle, which is actually thicker than the body. You're pulling that also through the loops. See that I've pulled it all the way through here. And then gently keep pulling the thread through. I say gently because if you try and rip through it, you're either going to lose the knot or you're going to knot your thread much higher up than you want to. So you gently pull, and if your yarn does not break like mine just did, there we go. It's kind of hard to see because this yarn is a little bit hairy, but you can see I have a little knot right there at the end. So there's my knot. Unfortunately, this is the problem with yarn. Yeah, the yarn actually frayed right here, and it went poof. So now I don't have a knot anymore. But that's okay, because now you've actually seen how to make a knot. That's how I do it. Of course, there are many different ways of doing it, but that is how I do it. Either way, the purpose of tying a knot is to secure the end of your thread into the material you're sewing so that the thread doesn't suddenly come out as you're sewing it. So for the first stitch, I'm going to use plastic canvas, because this is nice and easy to see. This is very flexible stuff, made of plastic, and it looks a little bit like Aida cloth, and Aida cloth is just the cotton version of this that has a whole bunch of squares in it, although usually Aida cloth has much, much tinier squares. Plastic canvas has very, very large squares. But, so if you have the end of your thread knotted, then when you go to push up through your material, it will not actually come out.
I'm going to have to hold it with my fingers, unfortunately, because mine not frayed. So the first stitch I'm going to do is called a running stitch. Sometimes this is called chain stitch. And all you do is you're going to go up and down in a wave pattern. So I will go down the next hole, like that. Pull gently, just enough that there's tension, but not too much, because you don't want to have the fabric buckle. And then you go up the very next square. There's no skipping squares in this. I'm just going up and down and up and down in the exact same line. I'm keeping them all in line. This is why plastic canvas is nice. And you can see the effect here is that I've skipped every other square with my stitches. There we go. So I will hold this over backing so that you can see that it looks like I've skipped every other square. You haven't actually skipped every other square. These little blank squares right here are actually on the bottom. They're on the other side. It alternates sides. So as you can see, the skipped squares end up appearing on the other side. Like that. So that is a running stitch or a chain stitch. That is the most basic stitch and the fastest you will find. When you're doing this on cloth, it doesn't quite work on plastic canvas, and I'll show you why in just a moment. This is also the most common stitch used in basting, if you want to baste something really quickly using thread. So what you would do, knot your thread really quickly, which I'm wrapping mine somewhat loosely just to get a knot into it. And then again, pull firmly, but not so much that you're going to break the thread, because you don't want to break the thread. If you have a piece of cloth like this, you can actually insert it into the cloth and then take several stitches. It's almost like gathering by hand. Like so, and you see I've got, you know, three or four folds onto my needle. So that when I push the needle through, it appears just like a running stitch or a chain stitch. Same thing, but you've gone a lot faster because you're just stitching really quickly in a line. You'll notice that this actually creates slight wrinkles in the fabric here, which is a downside, but that usually only happens with real stiff fabrics like muslin. This is a really stiff fabric, it wrinkles very easily. But that's how you can do a running stitch really quickly through normal fabric. The second type of stitch is usually done over the edge as a sort of decorative thing. And it's called an overcast. Sometimes I've seen it called a whip stitch. So I'm gonna really quickly knot my thread again, very, very loosely, because I'm doing this for speed, and of course my yarn just actually frayed again. But that's okay. So I will do it on here, once again. You always do this on the edge, so you want to be probably within an eighth of an inch to the edge, maybe a sixteenth of an inch. And I apologize for our European listeners who don't usually use inches. I'm sorry, we in the United States are behind on this. You start on the edge. You can either go up or down. Direction does not matter. So you start here, come up through the fabric, wrap your thread around, and come up again through the next square. So you're always coming up through the fabric so that the thread wraps around the edge. And again, bring the needle under, next square, over once again, under, through the next square, up. Sometimes you have to watch your thread really carefully to make sure that it comes out evenly, because this is one of the few times where your thread doesn't always like to come out evenly along the edge. Sometimes it's helpful to make a line of guide stitches about an eighth of an inch from the edge, and then that way you know where to insert your needle each time so that the thread runs very evenly. And the effect that you get is a sort of spiral along the edge. This is really good for sealing edges. It's also very decorative, so if you want to make a decorative sort of effect, you can use a whip stitch or an overcast. Now, it was called the whip stitch because you'd whip the needle and the thread through the fabric really quickly, because when you get into it, whip stitch or overcasting tends to go really quickly with practice. You get very good at it very quickly. You can also use this technique to mend holes if you want to do that. This unfortunately does leave a pucker if you use it to mend holes. If you have the two pieces of fabric abutted or next to each other, like if I were to take these two edges here, and if I were to whip stitch along this edge right here, you'd get a pucker, because unfortunately whip stitch is such that it creates a raised area in the fabric. You can also whip stitch, if you would like, same technique, with the two pieces next to each other like this, where they're adjacent to each other, where it's single layer thick, and you go down through one end and up through the other. So it's a spiral motion. You go down through one, up through the other, down through one, up through the other, down through one, up through the other. Same thing. It ends up looking kind of like a tornado, if you will. So that is overcasting or whip stitching. I will cut my thread one more time. The last stitch I'm going to show you really quickly, this is the strongest stitch. This is the one you use if you have things to mend and you have the time to mend them, because normally you would use a running stitch if you don't have time. This is basically an extended version of running stitch. This is called the back stitch. So what you would do with this I usually start down. You see my knot didn't exactly catch very well. And then you take a long stitch to begin with. So you see I've skipped one square in the canvas and I've come out one square ahead. So I've taken a long stitch and then I go backwards toward the knot like so that I get a single stitch right here. You can see that single stitch right here. And then I skip one square on the bottom again. And then I go backwards by one square. And then I skip one more, like so. And then come back one. And of course, back stitch is named because you go backwards toward your original knot, or toward your original entry point. Now this can be worked going either direction. You can actually go down or up, doesn't really matter. It works the same way. You may just end up having to go back one on the bottom instead of on the top like I'm doing. But what you end up getting, as I hold this here, you get a nice running stitch effect on the top, like that. And you get a long sort of chain stitch on the back where the edges are kind of touching. They're not very parallel stitches. It will look very different on the back than it does on the front. You can see on the back there are no skipped squares. On the front there are skipped squares. So they have a very different look. And you can put whichever side on the front that you want. But this is the strongest stitch that you can use. And it's usually used for mending for this reason. You can also use it as a strong stitch if you're hand stitching gloves or something similar that need extra strength in particular seams. Also, it can be used for arm size, you know, armholes, or crotch seams. Wherever you're going to have extra pull, this is actually a really good stitch to use. But that is the basics of hand stitching. And lastly, my personal tip to you is to make sure to stick your needle very securely into the fabric. Do not lose it, because if you lose your needle, I promise you, you will find it the hard way. So please secure your needles. And that is hand sewing.
Alright, I'm going to go over my first product review. Rejoice. So, So, what I'm going to review is going to be Jacquard's Dynaflow. We're going to zoom that in there. Dynaflow is basically dye and paint mixed into one. It's advertised as paint that flows like dye. Therefore the name. Ah, awesome. This was originally created for silk painting, but as crafters do, they tend to play with it and found that it works well on multiple synthetic fabrics. One of the reasons that I purchased this was because I wanted to try to achieve a watercolor effect with my fabrics, and I felt like this would be a good compromise between trying to applique it and then trying to paint it. And I was pretty happy with the results. As you can see, it comes in a variety of colors. Of course, you're going to get all the primary colors. Jacquard makes this particular product, and if you've ever worked with Jacquard paints before, you know that their colors are really, really bright. So you know when you order these and you get a red, you're going to get a red. Or very particular, the orange is ridiculously orange, which is awesome when it comes to painting because you know exactly the color that you're going to get. Currently, these are not available in stores. You might get lucky and find one at a craft store or a hobby store, but I had to purchase these online. Amazon actually carries these as well as Jacquard directly. I would recommend Dharma Trading Company because they offer better deals and better prices for these. Now, something to kind of keep in mind is because this is paint that flows like dye, when you open it up, it looks like water that has really rich food coloring in it. So something that you want to look into is getting a resist. And they have a couple different kinds of these. They have water-based resist. They have gutta-based resist. And then they also have wax. Bactic wax is probably the more popular version of it. But basically, this is a type of compound that prevents the dye from going into places that you don't want it to go into. It's a really great way if you're trying to make decorations on fabric, and you can just draw a bunch of lines using one of these wonderful little squeeze bottles. Do your painting, and then the paint will go all over the place. I'm going to show you guys some examples I did with this product and why I started to really, really like it. Might help if I get it in the shot. So as you can see, it really looks like fabric paint, but what I love is the way that it feels, and unlike fabric paint, this actually blended right into the fabric, and you can kind of see the other side. The paint actually also maintained a lot of the shine. This is stretch satin, and the shine is actually pretty consistent all the way across, and it still feels like the original fabric. So I was really, really happy and pleasantly surprised at how well it worked. And I'm going to show you another one that I did. This one was done with white silk. And the yellow and the red is where I used the dye / Dynaflow. As you can see, the colors are incredibly vibrant, but also maintains the shine consistency all the way around. So I was very happy with it. Now, this thing does have its problems. Because it flows like a dye, it spreads like a dye. Case in point. My lovely little mistake there, and my lovely mistake there. When you paint outside of the lines that you draw, no matter how accidental it may be, bad things happen. A lot of bad things happen. Unfortunately, it has this effect of where it spreads where you don't want it to, even when you draw the lines. If your lines are not thick enough, sometimes the dye will break through it. And unfortunately, once it's seeped into the fabric, it is impossible to wipe it off. And I tried everything that they recommended as soon as I saw that it was bleeding outside of the lines, and there was just no way of fixing it. So you're pretty much out of luck once it breaks the barrier. So that's the downside of this. If you're not doing really big patterns such as this, you could very easily screw up your entire project. Another thing I found out is that the type of brush that you use and the type of fabric that you have will greatly change how Dynaflow works. Now, this one is a round brush, and I found with this one it was really great at making lines. Whereas when I used a flat brush that absorbed more of the paint, I was able to get much more broad strokes and it looked a lot more even. Now I'm going to also show you how it works differently for each fabric. So this is stretch satin. I'm going to do a line. I'm going to do a dip. And as you can see, it's kind of spreading. It's not too crazy. It's doing a little bit of its thing. And this is in comparison to just normal satin. This was just with one drop of Dynaflow. See how much difference there is in spreading. And I'll even move this up here. So this is one drop of Dynaflow on stretch satin, and this is one drop of Dynaflow on normal satin. So it makes a big difference. So overall, I really love this paint. I would recommend this type of fabric paint if you're needing to do very broad designs. If you're needing to do something small, like a bunch of cherry blossoms on a kimono, go with normal fabric paint. Because this has a tendency to spread so quickly, you could very easily mess up your project, and nobody really wants that.
All right, welcome back. We hope you enjoyed those lovely segments. Of course, we say this because we filmed this before we actually filmed the segments.
Oh, so hopefully
you enjoyed them and they were lovely after we insert them into the episode.
We know that they'll be good. It's just funny.
Yes.
Because we don't know what they're going to be this very second.
You weren't supposed to say that.
Too bad.
Yes, we do know what they're going
well,
to be, or at least what they're supposed to be, so.
We have a section of segments that we pick from, and some of them we haven't recorded yet, so we have a very good idea of what they're going to be. They're just not finalized yet.
We have a plan.
There we go. We're not completely winging it. We swear on that. We have to have some idea of what's going on, otherwise I think we'd both go crazy.
Some of us like winging it more than others.
Again, paint and glue all weekend.
At any rate, so hopefully you guys have seen on our website, DA, Twitter, Facebook.
There we go.
We want your stories of cosplay. We want your funny, awesome, self-deprecating stories of anything that has happened in cosplay. For example, a very quick one on my end is that at one point I filled my iron to steam fabric with water from a Coke bottle that I did not wash out very well. Needless to say, the steam from the iron smelled like caramel, which was lovely and delicious. The fabric I was steaming also smelled like that, and unfortunately it left very sugary sort of residue all over the fabric. So that was my bad, but it is funny, and it is a do as I say, not as I do moment. But that sort of story. We want your stories. You can email them to us at podcast@cospod.org.
Mm-hmm.
You can record them onto an MP3 and send that to us. If you would like, please keep them within a reasonable length so that it doesn't get rejected by our mailbox.
Reasonable length probably being 2 to 3 minutes. Don't go give us a 20-minute story because
well,
we're probably not going to do that.
5 minutes would be okay.
Yeah, five minutes is okay.
Yeah, I think that's probably getting to the upper limit. Just as long as it's a reasonable size. So if you have a really long one but you can compress it, great.
Or if you don't want to record it and you just want to type it to us, we'll read it. That's
mm-hmm.
fine, too. You can email it to us. You can even pop it on our Facebook wall or message mm-hmm. us on Facebook. We'll take it that way, too.
Yep. If you don't want us to use your name, if you would like to remain anonymous, that's fine, too.
Mm-hmm.
Or if you would just like to send in your story for us to read but not have it on air, that's okay. We would still love to read them. Just let us know. Also, if we end up getting Skype back...
Should be soon.
For the next episode...
Should be soon.
If we are on Skype, then you can actually read it live on air with us.
Yeah, that's totally cool, too.
So there's a whole plethora of ways you can reach us. Yes. We are edumacated.
Yay!
But we want your cosplay stories, because we would like to share them in an upcoming episode. We will have a cosplay storybook.
Yay!
That will be our episode. And of course, we'll have stories, too.
Yep.
Because heaven knows, for as long as we've been doing this...
We got a lot.
We got stories.
I want to talk like Captain America. Story. And that'll be... when we do that episode.
Most of our stories will probably make us look bad, but that's okay.
Yeah. Or they'll be ridiculously funny. Maybe not for us, but for other people. So,
yeah.
Hey.
We've learned a lot. So, we have our stories, too. But we also want your stories.
Yes.
So, please do share them with us. We will have a roundtable coming up soon-ish. And I say that because we don't know what the date is going to be yet. But...
eventually.
Yes. But we are actually going to have an upcoming Cos Philosophy on eating for cosplayers.
Which sounds kind of weird, so I should probably clarify what we mean by that.
I love you. I'm getting there. I'm getting there.
Eating for cosplay. What?
Eating for cosplayers, not for cosplay. For those who wish to remain, you know, somewhat healthy as they are cosplaying and not, you know, fall down fainting on the floor during a convention, we're going to talk about what you should eat both at a convention and outside of a convention, as a general rule. Now, we're not medical doctors. This is not medical advice. This is just simply our 2 cents, I guess. That's
in our experience.
We get 1 cent each. 2 cents.
I'm okay with that.
But if you have 2 cents that you would also like to tell us about how you are able to eat at conventions in a healthy manner, which does not mean ramen and ramune for the whole weekend.
Oh, good God.
Or at home.
Or home.
If you have some handy tips for people to eat healthy at home when they're not, well, I guess when they are frantically prepping for conventions.
Or the conventioning.
Yes. And of course, all the other ways of contacting us apply for that.
Email, Facebook, DeviantArt, Twitter, the whole shebang.
You can even comment on our YouTube channel.
Oh, yeah, and our YouTube. I can't forget about the YouTubes.
Yes, we highly encourage you to go to our YouTube channel and watch stuff, because we have a ton of stuff.
We got extra content on the YouTubes that's not in our regular episodes, so.
Yep. And of course, you can also find that embedded on our website.
Yep.
Which you should visit, because it's awesome and cool.
Because you remade
and
it.
New looking. Yes, because I remade it. But there is a new section at the bottom of the directory page called Fellow Podcasts. We are accumulating podcasts that actually talk cosplay.
Mm-hmm.
Not that we're networked together, we're actually not, although that would be really cool.
That would be awesome.
But there's a couple of them. There's Coscast, there's Just Cause, there's Anime Cons, which has its own cosplay segment, and I'm sure that we will, you know, stumble upon others, and these are podcasts that we highly encourage you to listen to. Even if they are only a couple episodes long, that's still fine. It's still great content. So go visit the directory page, and you can see a list of our fellow podcasters. So with that...
I think that's it for us.
That's it for this episode. Please feel free to contact us, download our episodes, of course, via our various feeds and iTunes. And if you have any comments, questions, problems, concerns, just want to say hi, that's fine.
Oh, we need to do our shout-out, man.
Ah, yes, our shout-out. Mr. Lane, thank you for writing in.
Even though your tips were awesome and fantastic, we live in Texas. Humidity is a problem. Though, thank you for your tips and suggestions for how to work with resin.
This is for the resin casting part. I would like to say I love you for the foam board cutter, because that is just what I need. And I will get one when I have the spare fundage to get over to Hobby Lobby. The only thing I wish is that the cutting blade was a little bit longer.
Which you have no control over, but that's still a really cool idea.
The cutting blade is a little bit under a half an inch, and my EVA foam was a little over a half an inch.
Whoops.
Which made me very sad. But that's okay, because it will still help me cut, you know, basic foam board, and I will still use it to make the majority of my cuts on the EVA foam as I get to doing that part of my projects when I'm not frantically working on moving and eating better and cosplay and all sorts of other things. But yes, thank you. We would like more helpful tips if you have them.
We would like to be able to share them too, because we know that we don't know everything and we're still learning about stuff. So if you have any ideas, if you want to even make your own segments and send them in to us, we'll air them. We are totally all for that.
This goes for anybody. If you have experience doing some particular aspect of cosplay, we will air your segments. You know, as long as, you know, we'll contact us first and we'll let you know what we need. As far as, you know, the technical specs.
Right.
And it may have to be edited a little bit to fit within the time constraints of the podcast. But otherwise, yeah, send us segments.
We'll take them.
Yeah. Or if you are at a convention, because heaven knows we can't be everywhere.
Oh, no.
We can't afford to be everywhere. But if you're at a convention that we do not have listed on our website that we are going to be at, you are more than welcome to do a review of the convention and send it to us, and we will play it on the episode. Just make sure you contact us first, and we'll tell you what we need. But other than that, yeah.
Yeah.
Audience participation. Yeah.
We support it.
We do support it. And I believe that is all for this episode, so we will see you next time, episode 16.
Bye. Okay, so.